The other day, I just couldn't get my seatbelt on. I worked on it and worked on it. And you know what? After about 10 minutes, it clicked.
Methodist Manor is now Trinity Woods, and the name isn't the only change. Register to attend the complimentary lunch after services on August 15th. Representatives will be here to answer questions and to tell you about the exciting changes in the community.
This year, as part of Unite My City, Christ Church is volunteering at Lanier Elementary. We'll be painting, landscaping, and cleaning up the campus. Please consider volunteering with us August 14th from 9 a.m. to noon. Contact Pastor Jim to sign up.
Parenting is a lifelong commitment, and sometimes we have questions. Hurting Parents Support Group can help you navigate the changes your family encounters as your children become adults. Hurting Parents next meets August 8th at 5 p.m.
Find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ,
his only Son,
our Lord,
who was conceived of the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified,
died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
The fourth day he rose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and life everlasting.
Amen.
Our scripture today, first of all, comes from 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is the coming he promised?" Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the earth existed and the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And then from 2 Timothy 4, chapter 1, or verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And finally, the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning with verse 30. In the past, Paul is speaking. He says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request or a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat. Let us know that you're here. And of course, you can follow along with my outline on the website or the church app. Today, I'm continuing my series titled, I Believe, based on the Apostles' Creed. Why a series on the Creed? We've said that it's important for us to be able to articulate and to share the core foundations of our faith. It's important for us to be reminded of the central doctrines of the Christian faith as they have been passed on to us. It's helpful to see how this faith that has been delivered to us by the earliest disciples has relevance and impact today. The Apostles' Creed helps connect the core beliefs of our faith with our everyday lives. In these postmodern times that seem to mirror Old Testament days when, remember, everyone did what was right in their own eyes, it's important to understand why we today follow Jesus Christ. We've said that though the Apostles' Creed is Trinitarian in structure, six of the 12 affirmations in the Creed concern the person and work of Jesus. And why? Because the message of those earliest disciples centered, remember, around Jesus. He is the anointed one God sent into the world. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God's epic plan of salvation unfolded. We focused on His birth. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Remember, He is fully human, fully divine. We focused on His death. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We focused on His resurrection. He descended to the dead. The third day He rose from the dead. We have focused on His ascension. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. In Jesus, we have victory over sin, death, and the grave, and we have an advocate, an intercessor with the Father. Each of these phrases of the Apostles' Creed help us to understand who Jesus is and what He has done for us. Today, I want us to consider another unique part of the gospel story, Jesus coming again, His future return to earth. The Apostles' Creed summarizes this part of Jesus' story with the phrase, "He shall come to judge the living and the dead." These two simple words consist of complementary truths. First of all, Jesus is coming again. And secondly, Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Post "judge" in the chat. The New Testament refers to the second coming of Jesus in multiple verses. Jesus Himself mentioned it in each of the Gospels. Near the end of His life, He told His disciples one day He would come again. In Matthew 24:30, Jesus said about Himself, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." The Scriptures indicate that at some point in the future, Jesus Christ will manifest Himself in a way that all people will recognize, and all earthly human history as we know it at that time will come to an end. The promised second coming of Jesus Christ is a huge claim. That is something that certainly distinguishes the Christian gospel from all other faiths. It's certainly something that got the attention of people in Paul's day. At one time, he was on a missionary journey, preaching the gospel to all who would hear, and he came to the city of Athens in Greece. And Athens was a great place of learning and knowledge and hearing about the latest ideas. And so Paul stood up first in the synagogue and then out in the marketplace, and he preached the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. And some people began to ridicule him. "What is this babbler trying to say? What does he mean, resurrection?" But enough people were intrigued that they brought Paul to a meeting of the Areopagus, which was a group of Greek teachers and leaders who considered themselves the custodians of teachings about new religions and foreign gods. They decided they wanted to hear from this guy, Paul. And so Paul stood up among them and said, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in temples built by hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all people life and breath and everything else." He went on, "We shouldn't think of the God of the universe being like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill." And then he said this in Acts 17, 30 and 31. "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Well, that got everyone's attention. Paul was telling them of a coming day of judgment presided over by someone named Jesus, whom God had raised from the dead. Wow, that was a new idea. Paul was letting them know that this coming day of judgment was something they could count on. Paul was telling them that the God of the universe was calling all people everywhere, including them, to repent of their wrongdoing and unrighteousness, to turn away from their current wicked ways, because there was a coming day of judgment led by this one whom God had raised from the dead. Paul was obviously talking about Jesus. And with that, some people scoffed and sneered. That new idea was something they could not believe. This guy, Paul, is talking craziness. But the scripture says that a few people came to believe. There were some people in Athens who did respond to the gospel. And you know what? That's always the way it is. Different people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they have different responses. And we never know who's going to respond in faith and step out to believe the good news of Jesus. People choose to believe in Jesus for all kinds of reasons. You can write "choose" in the chat. Sometimes they're searching. They know that things are messed up, they're unjust, they're not right, they're unequal. And they wonder if anyone can somehow fix it and bring hope. Sometimes they're struggling with questions or challenges that baffle them. And they wonder if somehow someone can help it all make sense. Sometimes people are seeking direction or purpose or meaning, a way of life, a way of navigating all the twists and turns of everyday life. And they wonder if there's anyone who can satisfy their longing and their hunger, their desire for the real deal. Sometimes people are searching, struggling, seeking. Sometimes they are freaking. They're freaking out about their life or their circumstances. Things are just not going well, and they cry out for help from God or a higher power or anyone who can intervene to make things right or to work a miracle. Some people in Athens did respond to Paul's message about Jesus with faith and hope rather than with doubt and skepticism. And it made all the difference for them. And it makes all the difference for us today too. So here's a question. How are you responding to God's good news today? Paul told the Athenians what the earliest apostles also understood. One day, God would judge the world with justice by the one he had appointed, the same one whom he had raised from the dead. There has always been a cry for justice in the world. You can post justice in the chat. From the very beginning of the scriptures, with the story of Abel's death at the hand of his brother Cain, we see our bent as humans toward injustice. In giving Moses the Ten Commandments, God is concerned that his people learn to treat one another right, rather than to live selfish and idolatrous lives, trying to please only themselves. Throughout the scriptures, we see the prophets of God crying out for justice and righteousness and peace for the poor, the outcasts, for the weak, the vulnerable. The prophets looked forward to a day when God would send a Messiah, an anointed one, once and for all, to establish an everlasting kingdom marked by righteousness and justice and right judgment. One such prophet was Isaiah, speaking of the branch from Jesse, a coming descendant of David. Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah 11:4, "But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked." After the experience of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, those earliest disciples began to recognize that in Jesus, God had fulfilled the promise of bringing a descendant of David into the world who would establish an everlasting kingdom of righteousness, justice, and peace. Again, because of who Jesus is, the Son of God, God incarnate, the Word made flesh, and because of what He has done, He offered Himself as the perfect, holy, righteous Lamb of God. He sacrificed Himself for you and me. Because of what He's done, God has established Jesus as the righteous judge. He has given Jesus the name that is above every name, and established Him as the holy and righteous one in heaven, who will one day come again to rightly judge the living and the dead. As He was nearing the end of His life, the Apostle Paul was giving last instructions to his young mentee in the faith, Timothy. Young Timothy had first responded to the gospel, remember, when Paul came to his hometown. And then Timothy had traveled with Paul all over the known world as they shared the gospel, as they started new churches. In his last words to Timothy, he affirmed these amazing truths about Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4:1 through 2, Paul says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will what? Judge the living and the dead. And in view of His appearing," He's coming, "and His kingdom," it's coming, "I give you this charge, preach the word." Timothy, remember, Jesus is coming again. Remember, He will appear. His kingdom is coming. There will be a judgment of the living and the dead. In view of this, he says, "Timothy, I want you to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct and rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Help people get ready." Timothy, help them to be ready. If there's any consistent word in the scripture from Jesus Himself and the apostles concerning our response to the coming judgment, the message is this: be ready. Post ready in the chat. We must not be surprised, but be ready for His coming. Be ready. Jesus told several parables about being ready for His coming. The 10 bridesmaids, 5 remember who were ready, 5 were not. The parable of the talents, 2 who who invested what they had been given and were ready, and one who was afraid. The sheep and the goats who were separated by the king based on what they had done to the least or not done to the least one of these. Each of the apostles wrote about Jesus coming in their own way. The apostle Peter warned Christ followers not to listen to scoffers or to become complacent in being ready. In 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4, he writes, "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this promised, this coming that he promised?' Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Where is this coming he promised? It hadn't happened yet. It's not going to happen, they say. It's a farce. We have nothing to fear. If it is true, we've got plenty to fear. But if it's not, we can continue to live any way we want. So let's just keep doing that, running after our own gods and our own pleasures." Peter says there are always those who scoff and scowl at the revelation of God. They don't want to believe anything that God may have revealed to people, because if it's true, then they may have to listen. As long as they don't have to listen, they can live any old way they like. But that is not what God wants from anyone. Remember this. Scripture indicates that God is gracious, and He doesn't want anyone to perish. The Scripture says God is love. And out of the abundance of His great love, God has provided us with the way, the truth, and the life. God has provided us, the world, and all who will listen, the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Peter goes on to remind his readers and us in 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10. "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is what? He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." God is gracious and is providing time for all people to hear the truth and to respond in faith, believing the good news. But one day, the time will be up. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. It will be sudden. It will be unexpected. It will be visible. Every eye will see Him. Between now and then, I want to continue to encourage all people to consider the good news of Jesus, to believe in the gospel and thereby be fully ready for His coming. We don't know just when it'll happen. Many people believe the signs of our times are as ripe as ever. There are many things that seem to be unprecedented about these days. I hope and pray that all those who are hearing my voice will take the step today to repent and come to Jesus. Today, you can become ready through faith in Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank You for the good news of the gospel. Because of who Jesus is and what He has done, we can have new life and a personal relationship with You. Though You are God Almighty, You love us deeply, and You want us to experience fullness of life and eternity with You. That's why You sent Your Son Jesus into our world, that He might provide the way for our forgiveness, new life, and peace. Oh Lord, we know one day Jesus is coming again. He talked about it with His disciples. He encouraged His followers to be ready. Lord Jesus, today we can be ready by repenting of our sins and trusting you, believing in you. You lived, died, and were raised up for me, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I believe in you and in this good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, as a time of response, I want to invite you now to share with me the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I hope the message spoke to you today. Remember, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, you can be ready today for His second coming. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can have new life, how you can be ready with God through faith in Jesus Christ, please contact me today. If you've joined us and have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app, go to the website. Hey, you know, giving back to God is one of the most tangible ways to thank God for His goodness. You can use text to give, the app, you can go to the website or mail in contributions. I want to thank you. Thank you from my heart for your generosity. You are helping make a mighty difference for so many. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, God has highly exalted Jesus as Savior and Lord, and one day, perhaps soon, He shall come to judge the living and the dead. We don't need to be frightened. You can be ready by placing your faith in Jesus, in who He is, and what He has done. For now, who do you know that needs to hear, that needs to be encouraged by this good news about Jesus?